Please pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer, this Sunday and every Sunday, this day and every day. Amen. The resurrection is the pivotal story of the Christian faith. The light cast by that event outshines everything else. The search for what the resurrection means for humanity has given rise to the writings of the New Testament, to the Christian church, to numberless works of art and music, literature, and movements dedicated to the betterment of humanity and the whole of creation. We could examine the history of the church's understanding of the resurrection, the many conversations and arguments and theologies and cultural expressions of the church around the world through time. And all of that would be very interesting and enlightening and may help us to make Easter come alive in today's world. And that, for me, is the point. Making Easter an integral, central motif, metaphor, symbol, which guides us in how we live. We can enjoy Easter Day, the annual event that tells a wonderful story surrounded by symbols of new life, lilies and decorated eggs and lit candles and flowers and bunnies. And we can also take it very seriously for the living of our lives as we return to, on Monday, tomorrow, to the Monday through Friday grind of making a living, deciding how to use our time and money, and figuring out what to make for dinner. For myself, whenever the Easter season rolls around, I ask myself more pointedly than usual where resurrection is or is not happening in me, in my family, in the church, in the world. That's what it comes down for me. If it isn't part of my life, and the church's life, and the world's life, then I want to know the reason why we are messing around with it in the first place. It's a good idea to take a reality check once in a while. I want to see new life within myself. I'm not sure what you want to see. My lists are not your lists. I simply mention them to have all of us think about how is the resurrection real? I want to see new life within myself, new depth of spirit, more willingness to forgive, more skilled listening, less fear, more playfulness. My work as a pastor, and specifically as an interim or transitional pastor, has heightened the importance of that question, because if my work within churches is not about resurrection, then I want to know what it is. And given that the media usually reports news about what is wrong with the world, it's always a struggle for me to see new signs of life within the complexity and diversity of the world's life. Now, I usually have less good news about my own life than I would like. Perhaps I'm too demanding of myself, but whatever. For example, when I look at my extended family relationships, I usually have to say that not much has happened. My extended families, especially on my father's side, is not very good at maintaining strong relationships over time. Maybe I've had some really good conversations and connections. Perhaps some old tension has been released. Maybe we've made a new understanding between a couple of us. But just recently, a cousin of ours, my brother and I, got together to talk about our shared family history on my father's side, which involves comparing genealogical charts and looking at relational patterns and health issues and so on. This is a huge change for the three of us. It is huge. We've never done anything like this. We live within 50 miles of one another. But do we get together just to enjoy one another? Not very often. This change came out of the blue. A couple of months ago, my cousin and I were at her house talking about this and that, and some serious issues came up, and all of a sudden, tears came to her eyes, and she got all determined and forceful and passionate, which is who she is anyway, about the three of us needing to start up a new way of relating to one another, to break old patterns, generational patterns, to really gather together and share stories. And so out of that came a new thing. We've actually met once. We have plans to meet again. And we've looked at charts to compare genealogies, get them right, and photographs that we've never seen and stories we've never heard told. And we have a deeper sense of connection. And my prayer is that that continues. That, for me, is a sign of resurrection within my family. About the church, writ large, capital C, the church is a repository of history and tradition and intellectual inquiry and emotional connections. And too often, churches, small c, are repositories of way too many diverse objects, out-of-date books, and full file cabinets that have been left behind for someone else to dispose of. Churches are wonderful places for people to leave things and then forget them. The church, big C, is usually the slowest to change of any community I know. It can be, however, a place of growth and experimentation, of community development, of radical inclusion. It can be a place for honesty, risk-taking, and changed lives. It can be a place where we go through the motions. It used to have far more political and social influence in the world than it does now. And it is in danger of dying, whether from low morale or cultural shifts that have left it grasping for the good old days, way back, or a lack of vision of what could be in the future. It can be, and sometimes is, a place where new forms of worship and connection to the larger community come into being and flourish. I have always said, mainly to myself, but sometimes to others, that I have no interest in playing church. That is, in reducing the explosive and revolutionary message of the scriptures to the usual Sunday routine, going through the liturgical motions, so we feel somewhat better and then we go home. And then we come to Monday again, the same thing starts over. Now, we all need some encouragement and uplift from week to week, and I'm no different. I like that too. I need it. But if that's the limit of what all this means, then God help us. God isn't in the business of making us feel good so that we can go back into our everyday lives unchanged. God is larger than that. And if we become too difficult a community to become part of, like an exclusive club or a close-knit family that doesn't let in other folks, then we run the danger of encasing this dynamic message of life in a vacuum. The Lord came to give new life to all, not to be relegated to 1 or 2 hours on a Sunday morning. Like I said, I look for resurrection in the larger world, for breakthroughs in relationships between people of diverse racial backgrounds, gender identification, generations, and political and religious beliefs. I look for signs that budgets on federal and state levels are allocated towards the needs of the least powerful and the most needy, for corporations that act out of motivations that go far beyond the bottom line, all to make the world a healthier and more just place. I want to see movie stars and sports figures who understand that the world is larger than their egos. You can say amen anytime. I yearn for more money to go toward clean water and education, viable infrastructure, good housing, agricultural development, and less money for war. Ecumenical and interfaith dialogue give me great hope. More people consciously engaging in life-giving spiritual practices individually and corporately is a good sign. Now, whenever I read these scriptures, this particular scripture, I don't think all those thoughts. You know, they're somewhere running around in my brain. But I'll go through this litany of what I want to see in terms of resurrection. Usually when I read a scripture, and this one especially, I try to imagine what it would have been like taken literally in the moment, right there. And then words and images stand out from the text and demand my attention, and I look for the meanings that God is trying to bring forth out of my own life. Because those words and images that shine for me are there for a reason. The Spirit is working, speaking to me out of an ancient text. And what I noticed this time was the tenacity of Mary Magdalene. Out of great grief and fear, she did all he could. When Peter and the other disciple went in, saw the empty space, etc., etc., they went home. Mary stayed. And she took one last look inside the tomb, as though hoping against hope, as though she thought that if she looked one more time, something might happen, something different than grief and loss and death. And it did. She saw the angels, and then she saw Jesus, whom she thought was the caretaker of the place. And it was when Jesus spoke her name, Mary, that she heard and saw the truth. Out of that encounter, she then went to tell the gathered disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And that's the phrase that truly captured me. I have seen the Lord. And I began wondering, when do I see the Lord? When do you see the Lord? What does that mean? Well, Mary is the only one of the three who heard those words, who saw Jesus resurrected at the tomb. She saw and heard the good news that death itself was overcome, that Jesus was alive. She saw that the world had changed, and she knew that she had changed. I have seen the Lord. And it all happened simply because she showed up. She stuck around. She stood her ground. And in her grief, she kept seeking a way to do what was right and good. Where's the body? I want to take it away and take care of it. She received renewed hope and clarity and wisdom. And she was the first witness to the resurrection. What I draw from this text this time around is that we all have our own ideas about what resurrection may look like in today's world and in our own lives and in the church, our particular churches. Most of those ideas and images are probably very good ones. We hold them in our heart. We wish and pray that they would happen. We might do a few things that are in line with those prayers once in a while to make them happen. Hopefully we show up and hang out and stand our ground and we hold on to our hopes and dreams of what resurrection could mean, does mean. And once in a while we take another look just to make sure. But when it comes down to it, resurrection happens in its own time, in its own way. We may or may not perceive it right away, even when it is right in front of us. Remember, no human being saw the actual resurrection of Jesus. No one saw the actual moment. And that has given rise to so many inquiries and works of art and wondering about what that was like. The actual event was a mystery and it remains a mystery. But we see the results. We see the Christian church in all its varied forms across the years, across the world, as damaged as it is and as beautiful as it is. We see, if the resurrection happens in people, we see houses rebuilt after flood and fire. We see people fed. We see justice done in court after years after an offense was committed. We see relationships between antagonistic people improve. We see families reconcile. We see people recover from disasters. We see people join faith communities. And within those communities, we see old divisions healed. And we see some enter into new depths of faith. We even see ourselves, here and there, become better listeners, less judgmental of others, more forgiving of ourselves, more willing to help where we can, more patient, more willing to take risks based upon how we perceive God leading us. In other words, hidden away in all of this is the small, shy mustard seed of the kingdom, of the reign of God, in which human beings become more the people they are meant to become, where the sunlight of peace shines a little brighter, where the inner assurance that we are loved beyond measure slowly grows into a great tree. I end with a poem by Christine Rogers, who has preached here recently. She's a poet, and she sent me this, and I asked for permission to read it. It's called "The Act of Believing." I wish to see the hand of God in everything, which is easy, of course, when things are easy. But what of the struggle? What of the pain? What, indeed, of the suffering of Jesus, the most beloved of all, the most beloved? Can I see God's hand even there, resting on the back of his beloved, all during the agony, all during the scourging, all during the excruciating dying and death? Do I believe the hand of God was only waiting to lift up his beloved again, waiting until our hearts were settled, until our sorrow yielded space, until we were truly free? Free to see the hand of God in everything. Amen. So be it.